Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, and this is your Sunday Spin on this beautiful Sunday morning in downtown Chicago. I'm here in the Allstate Showcase studio, and joining me on the phone is Pat Brady, the former state Republican chairman, and now with Next Generation Public Strategies. Pat, thanks for getting up with me this morning.
No problem. Did you get back all right from Peoria?
Well, if you can hear me on the radio, what do you think?
You know, it can be a long trip, though.
It was a long 2 days. That's for sure. Pat, I wanted to talk about, first of all, you know, obviously yesterday is the floor session of the nearly 1,000 delegates from across the state, all of the speeches, all the floor speeches, and of course, kind of this basic theme work of an effort by Republicans to show unity despite divisions, divisions ideologically based, divisions geographically based, divisions over the presidential candidate. And I thought it was very interesting. And of course, you know, basically Republicans trying to build off the theme of having Governor Bruce Rauner elected and now trying to translate that into victories in November, particularly in the legislative races, to try to erode the Democratic supermajority in the House and Senate. But that having been said, I thought it was very interesting and most notable that in a 20-minute speech to the delegates, the governor said he supports the Republican ticket from top to bottom and never mentioned the name of the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, Donald Trump.
Yeah, interesting. If you see the recent polling, he does do well downstate, which I think is good for Republicans in the House and Senate, where we're trying to win races because that'll bring people on our way down there, where we have pickup opportunities. But north of I-80, and we talked about this during the primary, we get creamed with Donald Trump gets creamed in the polling. The suburban, particularly suburban women, just do not like him.
Well, it's kind of interesting. There's a new ABC News Washington Post poll that's out this morning, and it shows that the race between both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, a virtual dead heat, but it's Trump 46, Hillary Clinton 44%. But when you look at people, how they, you know, the positivity rating or negativity rating, this is like the worst that the Washington Post ABC poll has ever found. Nearly 6 in 10 registered voters say they have negative impressions of both major candidates. It's like 57% for each of them.
For a worst ever in the history of since they've been doing polling. These are the two most unpopular candidates we've ever had. And it was interesting to listen to your clip of Secretary Clinton talking about ISIS and terrorism and what we need to do. I mean, I agree with actually what she was saying, but it's like she acts like she wasn't there in the U.S. Senate or a Secretary of State, and she's just starting new. So I think a lot of Republicans and Democrats don't care for her too much, and the same on the Republican side. People just are not excited about Trump. Beyond the personality quirks, I think a lot of people feel this way. He doesn't necessarily represent Republican principles.
And, I mean, just as disclosure warrants, that you were elected as a John Kasich delegate for the National Nominating Convention in Cleveland. But when you look at the numbers and the negativity, and obviously this is a poll that's now, this is a end of May poll, and we're still a long way to go till November, and numbers fluctuate and those kinds of things. But, you know, when you look at the fact, and you still have Hillary Clinton ostensibly in a fight with Bernie Sanders, and Sanders trying to woo those superdelegates who are really what are pushing Hillary Clinton over the top when it comes to the nomination on the Democratic side. So she's still somewhat in a, you know, contested contest. But you look at those negativity ratings on both sides. What does that mean for turnout? I mean, we saw in the primary, competitive races on both sides boosted turnout, and Republican turnout was big. But when you see that negativity, does that just mean an overall general election kind of a eh?
Yeah, I hope not, because it's bad for democracy. But from a Republican perspective, I saw a couple polls this morning that Trump at the top of the ticket actually puts two very reliable Republican states, Georgia and Arizona, in play for the Democrats. And John McCain, a guy that I've admired for years, is running for U.S. Senate in Arizona, and I think he's got a race on his hands because of what just what you're talking about. People either don't show up or don't support the nominee on the Republican side. So I think it could have a big impact. But, you know, Secretary Clinton is very unpopular with her with the Democrats, too. So I hope it's not, but it looks like it could be a super low turnout race unless they can message this to just forget the top of the ticket and concentrate down ticket. And we have important races in Illinois, including Senator Kirk and some downstate House seats we need to pick up. So I hope it's not that way, but conventional wisdom would tell you it might be a low turnout event.
Well, and it seems, you know, particularly in these contests where you have Republican Senate races up, and you look at, for example, John McCain, and here's a guy very early on in Trump's candidacy when Trump made the comment about that he didn't consider John McCain to be a war hero because he got shot down, and yet you still have McCain, I'm going to support the nominee, and I guess it's how do you it's this kind of parsing that's going on. It's almost like it's the same with, frankly, the governor. He's going to support the ticket, but he's not going to endorse Donald Trump. I mean, it's just this kind of parsing that's going on here, reflecting, you know, the fears of what Donald Trump ostensibly could bring in some of these critical Republican races, including here in Illinois with Mark Kirk.
Yeah, well, you know, Senator McCain has a big Hispanic constituency, and Donald Trump, I think 8 in 10 disapprove of him. So he really has to walk a fine line between supporting being a good Republican or being a good conservative and supporting the nominee and trying to keep that base he needs to win. I think in Illinois it's a little less acute just because we're not in play. Hillary Clinton's going to win Illinois in the presidential by a long shot. So we have to concentrate on the down ticket races, and if the U.S. Senate can be considered down ticket, but you know, Mark's got a big race, and again, those downstate House seats that we're concentrated on, and a couple of Senate seats. So it is difficult, but you got to do what you got to do, and just the hand the Republicans have been dealt. I think it does say more to our nominating process, which needs badly to be reformed, and likely will be after this cycle.
How do you see those changes? What changes would you like to see?
I'd like to see regional primaries, and we had a blast in Iowa. And I know you've been going over there for years in New Hampshire, but those two primaries that get so much attention don't reflect, I don't think, all the Republican Party. I think we need to have regional primaries. There are many reforms, but I've always liked the idea of a regional primaries.
Well, and it seems, I don't know why, but it just seems how things have changed, because I always appreciated Iowa as a state for people to the retail aspect, the retail campaigning aspect of it, where people actually got a chance to see these people up close, ask questions in the coffee shops, that kind of thing. But then when you look at Donald Trump, it's, you know, bringing the 757 into the airport hangar, having a huge rally, and then taking off again. And it kind of, you know, it's completely different from how the Iowa process and New Hampshire process to some extent was supposed to work.
Yeah, and he's adopting the same strategy in the general election. As Mitch said publicly, that he's not impressed with the database the Republicans have and what the RNC has spent years and millions of donor dollars putting together. He's going to do that fly-around campaign again. And maybe it's just a reflection of his celebrity status, his years of being on The Apprentice, and the fact that even from 4 years ago, everybody's a lot more wired into social media. So maybe the retail site that you and I like so much, maybe it's not as relevant anymore, and then there's a different kind of campaign. You have to give him credit for at least recognizing that you can at least win a primary doing that. And I'm not sure if that's going to work in the general election, because you really want to identify your voters and get them out. But that seems to be the path he's taking.
Well, I almost wonder if social media is now the new form of retail campaigning.
I think it is. I mean, we're all wired into it, people that pay a lot of attention to this. And I know, particularly the younger generation, I got to believe that's how Bernie Sanders gets the crowds he gets, all the young people. It probably has changed. I'm not sure if anybody, I think Trump may have grabbed lightning in the bottle just once. He had like the perfect storm of celebrity status and the understanding of social media. But when you see, like after this airline disaster of last week when Donald Trump, before anybody knows what actually happened, tweets out, this is terrorism, we need to get tough on terrorism, using social media for political gain, not actually thinking it through before he shoots it out, that can do a lot of damage.
And the fact that you're limited to 140 characters, there's not a lot of room for nuance. Everything is black or white.
Yeah, and at a certain level, texting, tweeting is not a great way to communicate at all, because you don't hear the voice, and sometimes can be taken the wrong way, and it is. It's 140 characters. That's not enough, particularly when you're dealing with foreign policy and national security. A lot of articles today about some of the comments Trump has made about nuclear weapons. He wants to give Japan nuclear weapons, and Asia is a mess right now, and they are actually talking about Japan, about getting nuclear weapons. I mean, that's an unbelievable development in U.S. foreign policy.
Especially as the president is on his way to Vietnam and Hanoi, and also a stop in Hiroshima. We're speaking with Pat Brady, former state Republican chairman with Next Generation Public Strategies. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio. On the phone, Pat Brady, former state Republican chairman, now with Next Generation Public Strategies. We're talking about Donald Trump. We're talking about the Illinois State Republican Convention. Right before the break, we're talking about, you know, that aspect of social media kind of maybe becoming the new retailing of politics. And Pat, I wanted to note this story I had overlooked last week, that this is a independent congressional candidate in Virginia who posted on his Facebook page, basically his web browser, and he was trying to show his Facebook page, and some people noted that some of the open tabs in his web browser included two porn sites.
That's a bad move by the campaign, I think.
Yeah, you think. Well, except what was worse is when his explanation aired on WUSA TV, he said that he had been told that his computer had a virus, and when he took it in to get the virus cleaned, the folks told him that porn sites can lead to web viruses. So he said that when this screenshot was taken, he was just trying to see whether their theory about viruses was true. How's that for an explanation?
That's an interesting explanation. He probably would have just been better off admitting that he looked at the porn sites and moved on.
Yeah, that's your story. I'm sticking to it. It just gets stranger and stranger out there. Well, Pat, we've got a call from Ron. Ron, as always, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Good morning, Rick. Welcome back, and congratulations to you and your family on the graduation. Mr. Brady, I have a question. I'm going to make reference. I got this information from your colleague, Rick Eric Zorn. You talked about Donald Trump's numbers, but according to this article, the governor, Governor Rauner's numbers are down even compared with 6 months ago. They're down to 34% approval rate. So I don't know. He may have done Donald Trump a favor by not mentioning his name. So I want to ask you, what is your concern overall? And we know a lot of it has to, you know, do with the budget impasse. But right now, what is your concern about the governor helping some of these Republican candidates in the upcoming election? Thanks, Rick.
Sure, Ron.
Yeah, no, I have no concern. In fact, at this point in his governorship, I thought Governor Rauner would be about 20%, just given the fact that he's making some very difficult decisions in a state that's been mismanaged for a long, long time, and he's trying to reform the state, and reform and change is difficult, and it can be painful. But the reality is he was handed the state billions of dollars out of whack from a budget deficit perspective, and he's trying to clean it up. On the positive side, too, Governor Rauner has done more to re-establish the Republican Party infrastructure, recruiting candidates, raising money throughout the state than any time in my lifetime. So I feel great about what he's done. He's just doing very difficult things right now. And if you really want to do a comparison, Speaker Madigan, I think, comes in about 18% approval rating. So Not great numbers for either of them, but as far as Governor Ron, I'm not the least bit concerned because he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do when he ran.
Well, indeed, in the story that is in today's editions of the Tribune that I wrote from Peoria, the thing I was struck by was, you know, obviously it's a presidential year. There's the big Senate race with Mark Kirk seeking re-election against Tammy Duckworth, but Rauner gave particular focus to the legislative, and obviously, yes, the budget impasse is still a story, that kind of thing, but as the governor even said, this impasse isn't about the budget, it's about the future of the state of Illinois, and he promised to provide and bring in resources for the biggest ground game on behalf of political candidates, obviously on his side, Republican candidates, that the state has ever seen. And that is a different kind of factor to see, you know, when you look back to just this March 15th primary, and you had that Ken Duncan primary race that Juliana Stratton beat Ken Duncan, but you had Rauner allied forces in that one, and you were talking about a $6 million primary race. You're looking at you know, the prospects of significant funding, particularly on the Republican side, in some of these legislative races.
Yeah, and this is where if you talk to the experienced Democrat strategists or political operatives, they'll tell you the Trump effect downstate is going to hurt them, the Democrats, and help us in some of these races we think we can pick up. And he has done a great deal to raise a lot of money, and it's nice even, Rick, to see at the convention. I've been going to these things for a long time like you have. There's a whole new young generation of political operatives that the Republicans just haven't had in the last 10 years that are down there working these campaigns. So give the Democrats and the Speaker credit. They know how to run campaigns. You know how rigorous his program is for his members. And I think now you're seeing that kind of discipline and structure and smart thinking from the Republicans, and give Governor Rauner credit for that because he's in charge of it.
One of the things, and you're very familiar with this issue, and this was the issue involving the state Republican platform, and you were a member of the platform committee, and one of the issues with the platform was the issue of basically striking the definition of marriage of being between one man and one woman, and kind of an acknowledgement that there are also non-traditional families and that deserve, you know, dignity and respect. That language went to a floor vote. 80% of the delegates voted that new language down and went back to the 2012 language of that old definition. But part of the rationale came from three Republican members of the legislature who said, and largely for downstate, that they needed that marriage definition, even though it's, you know, for many Republicans and many in the public, that issue's over. But they said they needed that definition, particularly to attract, recruit, and campaign for downstate Republican candidates.
Yeah, it's interesting. And as you know, this state is so diverse on some of these issues, guns and on some of the social issues, it's hard to keep the coalition together. And I sat in that meeting, and as you did, for 6 hours, and heard what the downstaters had to say about what they felt about the change. And there wasn't really much talk of the political consideration, very little, less than I wanted, because we are a political party and our main aim is to get our candidates elected. So I don't know why we neglect to have a political discussion. But towards the end, when they actually started talking politics, that was what they said, that it would really hurt them downstate.
I have to wonder, and I'm in talking to some people about whether, does it even make sense to have a platform anymore? You know, maybe statement of principles, maybe, but a party state party platform? Is it really relevant? And frankly, I've never heard a party platform brought up in a political campaign.
No, the only time a party platform gets brought up is when you're trying to beat somebody over the head with it during a primary.
Right.
I don't think Ohio, one of the most effective Republican political organizations, but from a Republican perspective, I don't think they have a platform. I think it's just a statement of principles. I agree completely. I'd get rid of the platform because a lot of our candidates, and it says in the preamble, like there's somewhere in the language that we, you know, we welcome a diversity of opinions. You don't have to agree with all of this to be a Republican. But again, people just use it as a weapon in the primary to hurt their opponents.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like the only stories that ever come out of these conventions involve some kind of divisive thing that's about putting the platform together. But then, you know, again, who runs on the platform? So, well.
Well, it's kind of like you were in the meeting, and it's not apples to apples comparison, but the question came up is, who has read Roe v. Wade? You know, the one we're talking about,
right?
Overruling. There were three people in the room that actually read it. So the same can be said. I bet you 80% of Republicans have never read the platform. So peacefulness is questionable at best.
Well, that's Pat Brady, former state Republican chairman, now with Next Generation Public Strategies. Pat, thanks very much for joining me this morning.
Always fun, Rick. Take care. See ya.
You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN.